I don't know about you, but I can't help but feel that this pandemic, and by the way, we can call it what we want to, but it's pestilence sent by God, or allowed to be sent by God. I can't help but feel that there's a purpose behind it all. And I believe that God has a reason for what he's done. And I can't help but feel that he's preparing for his son to come. I don't know when. I don't know. I do know he's coming. But I know this, that always right before the appearing, there's always a great falling away. Just as when Jesus came the first time, when he comes for the church, the spirit of Antichrist was alive in John's day, but it's much more alive today. I want to look at a couple things. I want you to stay with me. I will be going into several different scriptures. I also want to encourage you, if you haven't done this, Brother Eric's been teaching on the Ten Commandments this morning. He started on the second one, and he dealt with images, people turning images into their gods, things that they make out of wood and trees and so, or wood and stone and so forth. Next week, he's going to get into trying to worship the true God through images. It's very important that you listen to that, because some people are sincere, but sincerely wrong. The only thing that can set you free of false doctrine is truth. And you need to listen to truth. And the only hope the world has is truth. And so we want to deal with that. And we want to preach this morning the battle that the church has to uphold truth. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 2. And after Peter preached, and by the way, this is on the day of Pentecost, and let me say this for those who get confused. The church did not begin on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
It was empowered upon the day of Pentecost. God gave what Jesus promised was going to come, which was the Holy Ghost. And it was expedient that Jesus leave, that God would send that comforter with us. Therefore, every man, woman, and child born again of the Holy Spirit of God would have a comforter wherever they would be. They would have the presence of God living within them. You would never be alone. He would never leave you nor forsake you. He would be with you until the end of the world. And therefore, every true believer has God living within. Now, let me notice this. In verse 41, after Peter had preached, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now listen to me. Let me ask you a couple questions if you're here this morning. You young people, I want to ask you some questions. Are you saved? Are you blood bought by the blood of Jesus? Have you been born again? Are you going to heaven? Are you saved? The second question I want to ask you is this. If you are saved, have you been baptized? If not, why not? And have you been baptized into a Bible-believing church? The Bible says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. They were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So not only do you need to be baptized, but you need to belong to a church and be part of that church. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 15, Paul says, but I will, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we won't come back and preach on that verse just a moment. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, you get that? Who was manifested in the flesh? You know what that statement says? For all those Jehovah Witnesses out there, Jesus was God. Okay? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Notice capital Spirit, the Holy Ghost, triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and seen of angels, preaching to Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So therefore, that is why I believe that Jesus is God, Savior, Lord, Christ. Amen. Now, look back, if you would, in verse 15. Notice here that he calls the church three things. First of all, he calls it the house of God. David said he was glad when they said unto him, let us go into the house of the Lord. We ought to be glad to come to the house of God. We ought to recognize this is not just any house. This is a house of God. We ought to treat it as such. We ought to take care of it. And we ought to respect it. Second of all, he says it's a church of the living God. God is alive, our Savior, and that's why we don't wear images of him hanging on the cross around our neck, kissing them, and all that type of thing. He's off the cross, he's alive, and he's at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And so therefore, we serve the living God. Amen. And you better be careful rejecting him, because one day you will fall in the hands of an angry living God. Amen. The third thing he calls the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. Now let me say this. The church is of such importance that Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says we are not to forsake it. The founder of it was none other than Jesus. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. He is the head of the church, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 5. Christ gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5, 25, or 28. It was founded upon Christ, upon this rock. What's the rock? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock that the church is built upon, the truth of Christ. Our mission is to preach the truth to the world so that they won't be worshiping images. They won't be worshiping rocks. They won't be worshiping trees. They won't be worshiping forefathers. They won't be worshiping saints. But there will only be one that they'll worship, Jesus, the Son of God, because no man can go to the Father but by him. The battle that we have is against the gates of hell. The gates implicate a battle. We know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because Christ started the church. But that does not mean the gates of hell is not going to win many victories. And as they were talking this morning, this pandemic has been a trial. Many churches will have fell by the wayside. Many people will never be back in the house of God probably in their lifetime, because they have allowed this to prevent them from coming. Now, I know that there are some reasons that's justified, and I'm not condemning those, but when people just completely quits, there's a problem. You need to be very careful. We look at our nation right now, and I don't want to get into too much politics, but I just want to say this. Our nation is falling apart. It's hurting. The foundations are being destroyed. Freedom is not a right. It's a privilege. Citizenship is not a right. It's a privilege. Therefore, anybody that wants to come and become a citizen, most of us were immigrants ourselves, if not all of us. Nothing wrong with immigrants. But you come the right way, you come the legal way. Amen. But when you come to America, And you come to become a citizen, and you ought to come and learn the language. We don't speak Spanish. We don't speak Portuguese or anything else. We speak English. You ought to come and learn the language if you want to come become part of America. You ought to salute the flag. You ought to pay taxes. You ought to work. You ought to be a good citizen. You love it. It's not perfect. Or leave it. What aggravates me is a bunch rising up wanting to change America in all the foundations of America. They want to change it to a different America that no one established. And all they've done, they've not done nothing for America. All they've done is had America give them and feed them and just hand out and hand out and hand out. And all they do is march up and down the streets, and they are changing everything going on. But I blame the people, listen, I blame the people who votes and votes ignorantly to things that's going on that was plain to see if they just sought after the truth. There's a lot of people trying, like the media and others, trying to hide the truth. No one likes war. But freedom didn't come without people dying. That flag, the red stripes, are from blood. Amen. To found this country, all gave some, but some gave all. Amen. Through the battles, there has been much blood. I don't know how many total. Brother Jim, do you happen to know how many total that we've lost in this nation in wars? Do you have any idea? I know 58,000 alone in Vietnam. And I think the greatest was 400 and some thousand in World War II. Is that right? And just imagine how much bloodshed was given. Imagine our forefathers that came over here to found the nation. Read the history of that and find out how much blood was given. Now, I said that to say this. To remain free, you have to fight. When you quit fighting, you'll become oppressed. And you feel like giving up sometimes, but you've got to stand and fight. That's why Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. But let me say something else. Now listen to me, I said that for a reason. You say, oh preacher, you're a violent man. No, I'm really not. I like to be a peacemaker. But the same thing has happened with the church. Do you understand that the spiritual battle? We act like the battle that the church is going through. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 all the way through, tells about the armor that we're to wear, all down to verse 18. We find that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. So people say, well, our battle is spiritual. No, the spiritual affects flesh. Do you understand how many people has died to uphold the spiritual battle that we're in? Think about this just a moment. Everybody that works and claims to be the church, part of the church, the true church, gives something. But some people has given all. Many people has died, martyred, tortured for truth, from Abel all the way down. Keep your Bible. Let's go a few places in the Bible real quickly. Look at you in Hebrews chapter number 11 real quickly. Scripture reveals to us that many people have been martyred. It's not just a spiritual thing. The spiritual turns into physical. And by the way, if it gets in this land where it is outlawed to preach the word of God and preach truth, if preachers end up in jail, that will not be spiritual. That will be physical. If you are persecuted, it will be physical. Look, if you would, in verse 33. You say, oh, he'll never come to that. Who are you kidding? It's just around the corner if something doesn't change. Look, if you want verse 33. Who through faith subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, you see that? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. You get that? Now, you can also read a book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. You ought to read that sometime. See the lies that was given to get us this precious book. To establish the faith that was once given to the saints. You ought to read the book, The Trail of Blood. This just happens to be an inflated map of the Trail of Blood. See all those red dots? Those red dots represents blood shed to be able to carry on the church and preach the truth of the Word of God. And when false churches begin to rise, universal church began to rise, they begin to persecute Christians. And then on and on, as they begin to break away Protestant movement began in the Reformation. And they begin to find truth, because what happened was, when they tried to unite church and state, they kept the Word of God from the people. They hid the Word of God. People took other people's interpretations of the Word of God. They listened to what somebody else said rather than getting the Word of God. Then when they begin to get the Word of God and study it, Martin Luther was one of the first ones. He found the verse that said, the just shall live by faith, and he had to leave where he was at. Because they taught no such thing. Amen. Just in the Dark Ages alone, this little dark right here, 50 million Christians were slain during those Dark Ages for the truth. Because of the sacrifices of many people, all the apostles, with the exception of John dying on the island of Patmos, all of them was martyred. And because of their faith, and by the way, you say, well, that's a long time ago. Do you understand that today, just because Christians are not persecuted like that in prison and so forth and death in America, it's still going on all around the world? Some of the places where we have missionaries right now, some of them are that close to being taken in imprisonment for life. And do you realize it's not going away, because when you see the fifth seal open in the book of Revelation chapter 6 in the tribulation period, they're still martyring people for Jesus Christ. Amen. And somehow we got this idea, oh, well, it don't matter. I don't have to get involved in the fight of faith. It's just a little spiritual battle. Folks, it's more than spiritual. You have to get physically involved in the fight of faith. Because I'll tell you what, the devil come not just to bother your spiritual side. He come to kill and destroy you. He'd like nothing better than to wipe every church off the face of the earth. We are blessed with this Bible. Amen. Because of that trail of blood. We are blessed with the fact that we still can preach the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And Jude, verse number 2 and 3 talks about, and 4, that we are blessed with that because somebody was willing to fight, even many with their own life, to preserve this book for us. This book just didn't happen by itself. There's bloodstains all through it that people have given their life to try to write the book and translate it in English and try to get it to the English-speaking people that we could have the Bible ourselves here in this land. The old past that was taken by our fathers, they were persecuted greatly to maintain those old paths, and we can still have the old past. and the truth in a day in which lies more popular. Folks, we still have the truth.
Amen.
Now let me say this. We have gone here, the churches in America have gone from one book. Used to in a church, when you talk about the Bible, there was only one Bible being preached in the English-speaking people.
That's right.
That'd be the King James Bible.
Amen. That's right.
And for hundreds of years, the King James Bible was fine until 1900, and then all of a sudden, all these translations come.
Yep.
We went from one book to many books.
Yep. Right.
Now we've gone from many books to any book.
Yep.
Either this Bible is true and the others are a lie, or they're all a lie.
Yeah. Right.
They can't be all true because there's too much difference between
right,
them.
Amen.
And so therefore, we need to understand that because of the sacrifice, we need to preach the truth. The devil would not nothing better to English-speaking people than to destroy the Word of God, the English King James Bible.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
Not only that, but let's look back, if you would, in the Bible. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 3, that Paul talking, and this is a pastoral epistle, and he tells us how we are to operate and behave in the house of God. Now, let me say this. Churches does not have the right to operate any way they want to.
That's right.
People said, well, the Spirit led me to do this. Look, if you would, in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse number 1. Now the Spirit, now if you got King James Bible, is that Spirit capital S?
Yep.
Then that's the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of who?
Devils.
The devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know what? Now listen to me. Do you know that's seducing spirits? Did you know that's a little s? Hear me out. The Holy Spirit never deviates from the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
The Holy Spirit never teaches nothing that the Word of God does not teach.
That's right. Amen.
While I'm hitting it, let me just hit this. In chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, talking about how we behave ourselves in the house of God, it tells you plainly that is the reason why women are not to usurp authority over the man. Not that women does not have a place in church. If it wasn't for women, our churches would crumble, many of them.
That's right.
But thank God for good women in our church. But there is a place for women in our church, and it's not the pulpits.
Amen. That's right.
Second thing is, if you notice chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, it tells you who to be pastors or bishops and who to be deacons. And women are not to be either one of those.
Amen.
So let me say this. For all those who may be listening, if you got those in your church, it's not the big spirit that's taught you to do that. It's the little spirits that's got you doing that. Amen? And so therefore, you're listening to the wrong spirits.
Amen.
And so you have to go back and you have to understand that the Word of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't like it. Well, there's things in the Word of God that just... it just cuts me all to pieces.
Amen.
And I may not like the fact it cuts me, but I didn't write it. And he wrote it.
Amen.
And he's truth. And the only way, listen to me, the only way you get right with God is saying, I agree with what he's wrote.
Amen.
When it tells you you're a sinner, the only way you get right with God is admit that you're a sinner.
Amen.
When he tells you that you need to do this, and if you don't, this will happen to you. What you need to do, if you want to get right with God, is do that. You say, well, I believe I'll just do this. Well, you can do that, but you won't be right with God. Because you have to be right with the book to be right with God. And by the way, don't think that somebody falls if they know the Word of God and they understand the Word of God. Don't think that somebody falls for another thing. Well, the Spirit's leading me to do this. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. It's some other spirit leading you to do that. Now, let me say this. The second thing is, a church is a place for the truth. Notice me, if you would, back in verse 15, it's the pillar and ground for the truth. That's the unaltered, unchangeable truth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I heard somebody say the other day, they were interviewing someone about homosexuals. They said, don't you think it's time that the word of God evolves to the time in which we're living? It never evolves. And by the way, we didn't evolve either. We were created. And when God spoke the word, it was settled. Nothing ever changes the word of God. Now, notice again, by the way, the Bible is the final authority. There's a guy by the name of Bill Grady, wrote a book called Final Authority. If you've never read it, let me know. I'll let you read it. He gave me I'll tell you this. It's an interesting story. My wife, I was up studying about midnight one night, reading the story, and Terry's brother was the one who gave me the Final Authority. I never saw the book. I got studying, and I wanted to teach it to the church. It was when I first came to church. And I was studying and I was preparing a message on the King James Bible. And I was reading some things in there. And I was praying that God somehow, I'd been to bookstores and I couldn't find it. And I began to pray that God would somehow let me get the book, because I wanted to give the book to all the people of the church. And the phone rung at midnight. And I thought, uh-oh. When your pastor's phone rings at midnight, most of the time, it's not a good sign. And so I thought, well, I'll let Chris answer it. No, I didn't. That's where the phone was. It was right beside her bed. And she come in there and she said, I said, who is it? She said, some preacher from New York. I said, okay. I said, hello. He said, hello, Brother Miller. I said, yes. He said, my name is Bill Grady. He said, have you ever read my book, The Final Authority? I said, brother, you won't believe this. I've got it in my lap right now as we speak. I said, I've looked for your book everywhere. And I said, I can't find it. I was wanting to give it to the church because I've started teaching on the King James Bible. And I said, I was really impressed with your book. And he said, that's why I'm calling. I said, by the way, how'd you get my number? He said, I was driving from Texas from a conference through Somerset. And I stopped to get gas at Somerset. And said, I stopped and said, I went in to pay the bill. And I asked some lady, I said, do you know anybody, any preacher around here that's a King James Bible preacher? She said, yeah, my pastor is. His name's Billy Miller. Said, give me his phone number. And he said, I was laying in bed tonight, and so I woke up, and so I told my wife, I said, God woke me up to call you. And he said, I just told my wife. She said, what are you getting up for? He said, God woke me up and told me to call the guy that I had the number in my pocket from Somerset, Kentucky. And he said, Brother Miller, I just want to call you and tell you. By the way, he said, my book's not sold in bookstores, but I've got 3 cases of my books. I'm going to sign every one of them and send them to you. I said, what I owe you? He said, they're free. I said, thank you, Lord. But let me tell you something. Whether he wrote it or whether he didn't, this is final authority. Amen. By this, all men will be judged. If you want to know how to be saved, this book tells you how to be saved. If you want to know what heaven and hell is about, this book tells you. You want to know how to worship God, this book tells you. Don't listen to what somebody else says. Don't listen to what tradition teaches. Don't listen to what religion teaches. Get into the book, the truth. Notice the Bible says we're the pillar of truth, the church. There's a lot of people started off right, but they fell away. Liberalism and compromise and all kinds of things, and they've left the truth. They've left this old book. They left the old song books. They left the old faith. They left the old past. And they wonder what's happened to the churches. I know the church where I surrendered to preach. When I surrendered to preach, the pews were full. You go back there today, you could count on probably one or two hands how many people were there. They left the truths. They left the Word of God. You need to be very careful. Why is the truth so important? Without it, you cannot be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Salvation is dependent upon the Word of God. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8, verse number 31. Let me get over there. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? You know what frees you of all false doctrine? The truth. You know whose responsibility is digging in there and find the truth? Yours. Look, if you would, on down. Notice, if you would, in verse number 43. Why do you not understand my speech? It's Jesus speaking. Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the who? The devil. The lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and a father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You won't be set free. You'll not be set free by philosophy. You not be set free by turning over a new page. You not be set free by quitting some addictive habit. Only Jesus can set you free. He is the truth. I am the word. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man to come to Father but by me. He is the truth. You won't be set free. He must set you free. Turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy once again. Not only does salvation depend upon the word of truth, and all these places has quit preaching the word of truth, they wonder why they're tossed about by every wind and doctrine. You know why you have coliseums full of people following false doctrine, and all these faith healers and all these people are filling the coliseums? You know why you've got people full? Because they're ignorant of truth. They have left the word of God. And somewhere along the line, they have left the word of God. They made other things their idol. And because of that, the sins of their fathers that left it have passed on to the second, third generations. Now they are falling false prophets and don't even know it. And many people are giving their life savings to some of these con artists. And it's a crying shame. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse 15. Study, talking to you, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That time is now. People don't like to have the truth preached. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to be they want to be psyched up. They want to be persuaded how good they are. And they want to be encouraged with philosophies of men. Folks, Sound doctrine depends upon the Word of God. Amen. Spiritual growth, it's the sincere milk of the Word that allows you to grow. It's the ground of truth. The ground is where it's settled. It's steadfast. It's immovable. It's the foundation. And so what we need to do is this. We have to understand the Bible is the foundation of the church. When we leave this, then what we need to do is this. We need to walk out that door and close the door, put a lock on it from the outside, and forget about it. When we leave the King James Bible, we need to step out of the pulpit and let it go. Don't ever have a pastor that has to use another Bible besides King James Bible.
Amen.
Because listen, look if you would in 2 Timothy again. Look if you would in verse 3. Or chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice if you would in verse number 16. All scripture. Did you notice that word all? That means every bit of it. All scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect throughout, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, do you understand? All scripture is given by inspiration. Why do I believe the Bible, there's only one Bible for English-speaking people? Because I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. And I don't believe the inspiration of the Bible that God teaches one thing and teaches another thing in another version, another thing in another version, leaves out part of it. He said, all scripture, is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
Look on if you would in Peter. Notice if you would in Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Notice if you would in verse number 19.
Now we have also
sure word of prophecy. In other words, you won't know what's going to happen. Don't go some soothsayer. Don't go some fortune teller. Don't go some palm reader. Don't go somebody with tarot cards. Don't read your horoscope. You won't know what's going to happen. Get into the Word of God.
Amen.
We got a sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
Is Jesus coming back? Absolutely.
Amen.
Is tribulation going to happen? Absolutely. Is a man's sin going to be revealed? Absolutely. Will there be a mark of the beast? Absolutely. Will many take that? Everybody take it, go to hell? Amen. Because the Word of God has done proclaimed it.
Amen. Sure it is.
And nothing you, nothing the devil, nothing the world, nothing the governments can do to change that. We have a sure word of prophecy in our hands. Look here. Whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by who? When Moses wrote, he was moved by the Holy Ghost. When David wrote, he was moved by the Holy Ghost. When Joshua wrote, he was moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Whenever someone wrote, they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
He inspired the Word of God.
Amen.
Not only did he inspire the Word of God, look if you would in Psalms chapter number 12. In Psalms chapter number 12. Hang on for the ride. We're about through. Eric run out of time. And I ran out of time too, but it don't matter. We're just going to go on. Psalms chapter 12. Notice if you would in verse number 6. The words of the Lord are what?
Pure
words. The silver tried in the furnace of gold, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from when? This generation when? I not only believe the scriptures is inspired, I believe the scripture is preserved.
Amen.
That God has kept his word
Amen.
For everybody, and that God used the Hebrews to get the Old Testament out, and the Arabic and Greek to get the New Testament out, and I believe that he's used the King James Bible in America to preach the gospel to the world.
Amen.
And so therefore, we believe in the preservation. And those of you would in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, real quickly. I'm about to wind her up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now let me say this. Remember Jesus told the devil, said, man should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that God spoke is still with us.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of what? God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul said, that book in your lap, it's not the word of men, it's the word of God.
Amen.
And I believe this is the word of God.
Amen.
And I believe if you're going to be saved, you got to believe
Amen.
This
Amen.
Book. Amen. Now, what happens when the church leaves the truth? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Same thing as nations. When nations forget God, they get turned into hell. And churches that leaves God's truth will be turned into hell. They'll destroy themselves. There'll be no life in them. There'll be nothing in them. Many's going to buckle when the Antichrist comes. There'll be a falling away. They'll believe a lie. Why will they believe a lie? Because they've departed from the truth. My friend, the truth is important. Satan attacked the word of God from the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And he still attacks the word of God today. Rejection of truth. Quit preaching. The Bible says there, remember what it said in chapter 4, verse 2? Preach the truth. Be instant in season, out of season. Preachers today is trying to build self-esteem instead of preaching truth. Preach the truth. Let it fall where it may. When it cuts me, I'll say, oh my. When it cuts you, you say, oh my. Or oh me. Last but not least, there's a lack of biblical truth. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 2, this is the last place we're going. In 2 Peter chapter 2, why is it important to keep the word of God? Folks, I've got nothing against having a good time with the children. I've got nothing against sports, as long as we don't make sports gods.
Amen.
I've got nothing against playing games with the kids. I've got nothing against eating and eating at church. But God did not ordain the church to be a place to come together and play in church service. Did not be, ordain the church as a place to come and eat your lunch during church service. It's a place to come and worship God through your singing, praying, and preaching.
Amen.
And therefore, what we need to do is we need to get back to it. We need to reserve it. What happens when we begin to leave it, we begin to add all these plays and all this other stuff into it, and we let that take over any preaching? Those of you who would in 2 Peter chapter 2, real quickly. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false prophets among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Listen, there's a bunch that this message, they'll condemn this message.
Amen.
Because they hate the truth.
Amen.
Look in 3. And through covetousness. You know what covetousness is? If you don't, then what you need is stay tuned. Brother Eric, tell you what this means right down here. Just hang on a little bit.
Amen.
Love of money. You know what all these characters is driving these planes, jet planes, living like a billionaires and having all these mansions everywhere and living like on the top of the world? They're false prophets. Covetousness. Look, if you would, in verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know what make merchandise of you? Give them the money. Give them your money. You say, well, you just preaching for me. I wasn't preaching it for myself. I was preaching for a missionary in need. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Look here. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know why they do it? They're spiritually ignorant. These people running around and jumping and playing fool and all this stuff, they better get in the book. They better quit following some false doctrine or false prophet. And they better get in the book. You know what the need of many of them are? To get saved. Oh, I just want to go someplace I can see a miracle. Those aren't miracles. Those are nothing but illusions and magician tricks. Been proven over and over and over and over on every one of them. And people are still too ignorant to see the truth. You better wake up. We as a church are responsible for the truth, to maintain the truth. You know why the gates of hell cannot win this battle? The gates of hell cannot defeat the word of truth. The word of truth is what Jesus taught you to defeat the devil. That's what he used to defeat the devil. And the devil can't stand the word of God. Amen. So this morning, maybe you're here. And folks, we need to be encouraged. If we quit fighting, our churches will be destroyed. If I'm not surprised, I think we will see a battle coming against the churches to quit preaching certain things soon. As a matter of fact, the bill is already up there. And what they want to do is they want to say that the church has no protection, that we can't prevent a transsexual from getting a job over there teaching our children. We can't preach against it. We can't forbid it. We can't forbid church membership in that situation. And they're going to come in, and it's already up there. They're just trying to get enough votes to pass it. Equality bill. And if it passes, folks, we're going to be in a fight. And if you want freedom to worship, we're going to have to fight. And we're going to have to fight it. If we lay down, we'll be meeting in caves in people's houses, trying to hide from the government when we preach. Be wise. Let's stand tonight, today. For people say, "Oh, preacher, I'll never come in America." Folks, you need to read some of the bills that's waiting right now. Man, they've already got up. These liberals have come to change America as we know it. They're going to turn it to this country that we don't even recognize. And I won't be surprised to see a civil war rise up again in this nation if they try to flip-flop the way they're pointing things. They shouldn't make any superior races. Everybody should be treated equally. Amen. And that's everybody. Amen? But now they're trying to reverse things and make another superior race. There's no superior races. Everybody should be equal. Amen. That's how this country was founded, Brother Jesse.
Page 272.
But maybe you're here this morning. Listen to me. The time is flying. If you're not saved and being deceived, if Jesus comes back, you're going to be left. You better receive Christ while you're hearing the truth preached. Because when we leave, you that heard the truth not going to hear the truth no more. You're going to believe a lie and be deceived. You better wake up. If God's dealing that heart, you ought to come this morning. Would you come? Maybe there's something else you need to do. Maybe you need to come be baptized. Join the church, however God may lead you. Would you come as we sing, Brother Jesse?